Man, we're in a series this morning, The Body, What God Expects. We've talked about it. This is the fourth message in this. The Body, What God Expects. God expects us to love one another. God expects us to serve one another. That was so demonstrated. Amazing. God expects us to mature. Strong message last week. Powerful message. Kind of heavy, kind of strong. Great message. He expects us to mature and grow up. And bouncing off of that, he expects us, because we talked about good and evil, he expects us to know our enemy, to be alert of our adversary. We cannot put our head in the sand and say, Satan doesn't exist. He's an imaginary figure. He's a dude in a red suit, pitchfork. He loves it. He thinks that's great that we make a cartoon out of him. When he is an absolute fierce, roaring lion ripping to shred mankind. He is one of a name of Abaddon or Apollyon, which is Greek and Hebrew for the destroyer. He is called the evil one. He is called the ruler of darkness, the ruler of demons. He is the prince and power of the air. He is a fallen angel who was highly established as a cherub, a guard of the throne, who chose to become prideful and arrogant and want to be God and be like God and have the authority and the glory and the praise that God would receive. And God kicked him out of heaven. And he has a serious hatred and wrath and anger towards God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, towards mankind because we're made in his image. And he is absolutely doing everything in his power and authority to destroy mankind. He is not some stupid little cartoon in a red suit. We've got to be aware of our enemy, folks. He is very real. And he has serious wrath. You want to talk about people, well, you have anger issues. The enemy has anger issues, folks, because he is full of hate. And he is a liar. And all he does is deceive and blind the eyes of those who are unbelievers. That's his purpose. And man, we got to talk about this morning. And I tell you what, last night was a night where, man, at the end of service, Brennan and I just really felt that there was just a heaviness in this place. There's a heaviness in worship. And the enemy, he knows what we're preaching on, man. He's got his demons. He's got his little cohorts that are all around. A third of the angels fell with him when he fell. And they're very real and they're very powerful and they're demonic. He's aware of what we're doing in this place. He's very aware of those who are steadfast and trying to strive after the things that of God and trying to win the lost and trying to present the gospel in such a way. He's very aware of people who are on fire and standing firm for the truth. Man, last night was just a difficult night in church. Probably very few people actually felt that in service. Man, I went home and I was fasting and I went home and I ate. I broke the fast after service last night. I got in bed about 11:30 and it just really wasn't happening. So I got on my face and I began to cry out to God. Until about 2:30, there was a breakthrough. Man, I tell you what, from the second I walked in this place this morning, it was different. It was different. There was a freedom. There was a release. There was a breakthrough. It was about 2:30 this morning. Man, I tell you what, there was such a freedom in worship, even in this service. It wasn't there Saturday night. The word was presented as a powerful message. But there was just this heaviness. Gang, the enemy is very real. There's a very, very, very real darkness and a presence of darkness, and there is a very real oppression that can come. Now, if you want to do absolutely nothing for Jesus, he still hates you the same. But I tell you what, when you are serving and striving after God, there will be moments that he comes. And I'm not saying Satan himself. Satan is not omnipresent, folks. You've got to know the enemy. Please hear this. So many people begin to pray and cast out Satan, and they talk to Satan like he's in the room with them. Maybe there is demonic activity, maybe there is oppression, but Satan himself is a created being, an angel that God created. You can read about him in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, where his pride rised up and God kicked him out of heaven. He's a created being. He can be at one place at one time. So it's funny when people begin to cry out and demand that Satan leave when he's probably not even present. We've got to do this in God's way. We've got to know his authority, but we've got to know our position. And yes, the enemy is real. And yes, his angels and demonic activity is very real. And yes, there is demonic oppression. But we've got to do it God's way and not our made-up way. We've got to do it God's way and how to fight his way. Man, you've got to plug into this thing. Folks, we're not here to check a box. We're here, God, teach us. Man, show us. It's something we have to know because the enemy knows. And we have to know and understand how we are to battle the enemy and what we are called to do. What is our position in this? Man, let's ask God to move in this place. God, we are coming for you right now, asking God that you speak to us through your word, God. Father, by your spirit, you direct this message to every heart that's in this place. Father, speak to us this morning. God, please give us an ear to hear, God. Those who are here want to be here, God. We want to be in this place to hear from you. So, God, we have an ear to hear today. God, give us an eye to see exactly what we need to see. Open our eyes this morning by your spirit, directly speaking into our lives today, God. God, that we leave this place with a brand new thought, a brand new idea from your word, God, of how we are to take our position, God, and how we are again reminded this morning. The enemy is very real and has a very deep hatred for me and for you and for this church and for the things of God and for mankind in general. God, open our eyes to this. Hallelujah. Folks, please ask God, speak to me this morning. God, I'm here. I want to be here and I want to hear from you. God, I need this morning. God, there has been oppression in my life. God, there's been things going on this week that I cannot explain. God, there is this depression that's come upon me. God, there has been these issues. Gang, whatever it is, this might be something that you have to hear in the absolute perfect timing of God to get release. Please ask God. God, speak to me this morning. I need to hear this today. God, I need this. This message is for me. I need this today. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. First, we're going to go to a place of victory. We see in Revelation 12, Revelation 19, and Ephesians 6, where we're going to go to places, the first two places, Revelation 12 and Revelation 19. 19's not up there, but we're going to get there. These are futuristic events that we know that will take place. Revelation 12, Revelation 19. Listen, we see Satan working in Genesis 3, where he came and brought into Adam and Eve sin. We see Jesus working in Matthew 4, where he brought before Jesus three temptations, the temptation, eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life. And then we see Satan again. We see him in Revelation 19 and Revelation 12, Revelation 20. We see him through the book of Revelation. He has been, folks. He is a created cherub, a creative guard, a created being that God created that is. Listen, we got to understand, there's only three names to angels, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Guess who Lucifer is? Satan, who fell from heaven. He was powerful, folks. Powerful. We've got to have a very biblical picture of his position and who he is. And there, please, church, hear this. Please hear this. There's got to be an urgency in you and I. I mean, an urgency for the lost. When you know his authority and you know who he is and you know his power, you begin to recognize, listen, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this. You've got to see this. This is the urgency of the church. In whose case the God of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the eyes of the unbelieving. Listen, he functions in a way of deceiving. He functions in a way of lying. He functions in a way that his purpose is to blind eyes so that they will never see what? So that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Gang, he has one purpose. Please know the purpose. He has a hatred for God. He has a hatred for people, mankind, because we are made in the image of God. And he will do everything in his power to blind the eyes so that they may never see the light that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gang, aren't you amazed and glad that your eyes were open, that you came to the truth and understood Jesus died for me. My eyes have been opened to the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody, Nobody gets to the Father except through Christ. And man, there's a great light that's come in. And I have a deep understanding that it's Christ. Or is the urgency in us to know that it is His purpose and it is His desire to lie and to lie and to lie and to deceive, to blind the eyes? See, you got to understand this, folks. He doesn't give a rip what you believe, as long as it's not Jesus. Who do you think came up with Buddhists? Who do you think came up with Muhammad? Who do you think came up with Islam? Who do you think came up with Unitarians that, oh, all things go and it's just a wonderful day and everybody's going to get to heaven eventually? And I mean, he doesn't care what you believe, as long as it's not Jesus. Because he knows, he's very aware that Christ is the only answer. Jesus is the only light, the gospel, the good news that leads to salvation. So he doesn't care what the world believes. He will blind the eyes to one thing, Jesus. You and I have to be urgent about this to recognize and understand his authority and his position and his game plan and his scheming is to blind as many people. Listen, Isaiah 14 says that he will take prisoners with him to the lake of fire for an eternity, forever and ever. And he wants to take as many prisoners as possible. And he will blind the eyes. Again, we've got to know. He does not care what you believe. See, folks, you got to see it. There's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. There is the domain of Satan, and there is the domain of God. Acts 26, 18. I want you to see this because you've got to understand. Look at this. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness. Now look at, the enemy wants to shut their eyes, to blind their eyes. Truth tells us that light wants to what? Open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the domain of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to what? Into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Gang, when you see biblical clarity that there are only two kingdoms, there is the domain of darkness, which he is the ruler and father of, and there is the kingdom of light, which God in Christ and the Spirit of God that are in the absolute authority. And listen, how does this take place? How is it that you and I, eyes were open to the truth that there are two kingdoms? I was once walking in darkness and death due to my sin, but Jesus Christ put himself on a cross. Light showed up through Jesus as the light. And now, how does this take place? Once knowing that I was in the domain of darkness, through Christ, I have been transferred. Whew. Into the kingdom of Jesus. What's that look like? Folks, there is so much in the supernatural. There's so much that takes place in the heavenlies that are very difficult to explain. But just know there is a serious, serious battle. And there is a very fierce, ferocious war between light and dark. And for the souls of man. Please see this. Look at 1 Peter 2:9 says this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness. Out of darkness, we have come out of darkness to what? Into his marvelous light. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Folks, there's two kingdoms. Man, I want you to see that today. Because you can't buy into so many different religions and thoughts and ways to God. He is the greatest liar and he is the greatest deceiver. As a matter of fact, he is the absolute father of lies. And he will set up such a spider web of systems to confuse so that mankind doesn't really understand that it's just one truth. And it's Christ. We have got to be very, very aware. Come on, Revelation 12, please. And then I can't imagine this. This is a battle that I believe will take place. I don't believe that this has taken place yet. Revelation 12, verse 7. Try to picture this, man. This is nuts. And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angel. This is the archangel Michael. Listen, Michael and Satan have history, man. Moses, who was an absolute man of faith, Moses, who through God delivered the Israel people from bondage to escape, to slavery, from freedom. Incredible. And there was something about the body of Moses that Satan wanted a piece of this body. And Jude 9 says that the archangel Michael and Satan began to battle over the body of Moses. Deuteronomy 34 says, when Moses was buried, nobody knows the position of where Moses was ever buried. And here you've got this angelic, incredible archangel Michael. I mean, there is ranks in angels, and Michael is one of the top ranking angels. I mean, he must just be like, I mean, I picture him as just an absolute warrior beast, right? I mean, he's a ranking angel, and he's battling Satan over a body. And he says, listen, I'm not going to even bring a judgment against you. He knew the position. Listen, they were arm in arm, angel, both high up angels. And he knew, I'm not bringing a charge against you, but I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. He understood the power of the name of the Lord. He understood, I'm not going to directly talk to you. I'm going to my master. I'm going to the Lord, and he's going to deal with you. Dang, that's huge. You got to see that. You got to understand that. So many people, it's just amazing. So many people are chasing demon chasers, and so many people are trying to go after Satan. We're never called to do that. I don't know why you want to pick a fight with Satan. If you understood his authority, he would railroad you. But when he comes on your turf, then you use position and the weapons and the tools that God describes for you and I who trust in him. Michael, the archangel, knew that. Now, look, could you imagine this battle that will take place? Folks, I want to tell you, he is a defeated foe. What took place on the cross defeated the enemy. The work of the cross defeated Satan. Got to know that. Now, look at this. And this is a battle. Could you imagine what this will be? I don't know if we're going to be there. Many theologians think that there was something that took place to upset the heavenlies, that Satan and his angels went up to do battle in the heavens. Could have possibly, they say it might have been the rapture. Possibly, they say it's something right before the tribulation. But this is where they picture this. Now look at this, verse 7. And there was a war in the heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon had his angels wage war. And they were not strong enough. The dragon and his angels, could you imagine this incredible epic battle that's taking place in the heavenlies between this archangel Michael and his crew and his angels fighting against the red dragon who is Satan and his angels. And there is this waging of war that's taking place, this battle that's taking place. But what does that look like? That's incredible, gang. How do you picture that? But this is an event to take place. Now look at this. This is incredible. And they were not strong enough. The dragon and his angels were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. See, according to Job, and according to this, Satan has reign to go to heaven and go before the Father and accuse the brethren day and night. That's why he's the accuser. He accuses you and I. They did this. They did that. Do you see what they're doing? Oh, test him. He's a man of faith. Bet you he doesn't hold up. That's what he did to Job. But look at this. And the great dragon was thrown down from the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That's his point. And he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before God day and night. Gang, there is a day after this incredible battle and war that the enemy will not have a right to go before the Father and accuse you and I.
This is one of those defeats, gang. This is one of those times that he is defeated, booted out of heaven, and he will not have the right again to go into the heavenlies to accuse you and I. And they overcame him. Verse 11, powerful. They overcame him. They overcame him. They overcame him. He is a defeated foe. How? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the word
of their testimony. Look at the power of the blood of the Lamb, folks. It is no joke when we worship and we cry out, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Yes, we are saved. And yes, that's amazing. There's also a defeat that took place of our adversary, of our enemy, that it was by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can overcome the enemy. It is by his blood. It is by our testimony that he, the enemy, Satan, and his angels have been defeated. Hallelujah. And when we begin to worship and cry out the great glory of the blood of Christ and how he has saved us, folks, he's also defeated the enemy at the cross. When you begin to see the real picture, Colossians 2, 14 and 15, say that the enemy, Satan, and his power and his authority have been disarmed. And the cross has canceled out our certificate of debt. That's our sin. Sin dealt with, which disarmed the enemy. Hebrews 2, 14 says that by the cross, the work of the cross, the enemy, that is Satan, has been rendered powerless. This has already taken place. The cross is over 2,000 years old. He has been disarmed over 2,000 years ago. He has been rendered powerless unto death. Gang, you and I who understand and recognize, absent from this body is to be home with the Lord, you and I who understand and recognize the power of what Jesus has done for us, that we are saved, we have gone from the domain of darkness and put into and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, that we know that there is no such thing as death for you and I. And that was one of his powers, that he wanted people to die. Jesus came, took care of death on the cross, rendered him what? Powerless. Colossians 2 says that Christ made a public display of him. You got nothing. Sin has been dealt with and conquered. Death no longer has a sting. You are disarmed, and you are now powerless. Incredible. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Folks, you have to understand who he is, but you also have to know your position. That man, when you gave your life to Christ, and you confess that Christ is Lord, the Spirit of God has baptized you and he reigns and dwells and remains and takes residence in you. Therefore, greater is he who is in me, God himself, than he who is in this world. That's powerful. Verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. They did not love their life, even when faced with death. See, when you make a stand for Christ and you truly are salt and light and you really have one goal in mind is to surrender your life, to sacrifice your life, to sacrifice your finances, to sacrifice self in itself, to die to self day after day, to truly live for him and understand what it is to be a soldier for Christ, to understand what it is to live and die for him. Brooks, the domain of darkness knows that. And he will come after us. Wouldn't it be great? Am I just thinking about this? Wouldn't it be great if there was a wanted poster of Believer's Chapel in hell? Right? Wouldn't it be amazing if your face was on a wanted poster because you're so sacrificial going after light and winning the lost, understanding what it is to live out the gospel? If there was a wanted poster of your face right in hell, and there's a target on your back. But look at this. The verse that 11 is talking about is even talking about the martyrs who gave their life. The Bible says even the martyrs overcame the enemy because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. We're not to fear death ever. Death has been taken care of.
Come on, look at that. I want to show you another place that the enemy is defeated, and this is the end of the road for him. You got Revelation 19:20. This is Jesus. He's returning on a white horse. He's got the church behind him. And man, Jesus is just, we don't have time to get in this. You can read it. The account from 5 all the way up to 18, and then this happens. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him. That's Jesus, who sat on the horse, and against his army. The beast was seized. That's the Antichrist. And with him, the false prophets who performed signs in his presence. That's the top religious leaders who would charge people to follow the Antichrist as it would be Christ. Now, who's the mark of the beast? And those who worship his image, these two were thrown alive in the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword, which came from the mouth of Jesus. Now look at this, verse 20.
So that dealt with the Antichrist, and that dealt with the false prophets, those religious leaders in that day who will lead people to follow after the Antichrist. Verse 20. Now look at this. And then I saw, and try to get this, to wrap your mind around this picture. Here Jesus shows up on a horse, takes care of the Antichrist and the false prophets, and then he sends an angel for the big dog, right? You got Michael who's already has history with this guy. You got Michael who's already gone to war, and here this is the deal. An angel coming down from heaven holding the key of the abyss. That is the deepest pit. And a great chain in his hand. He's got a key in one hand, and he's got this. Could you imagine the massive chain that it would take to wrap around the dragon and to chain the dragon in the abyss? What this is going to happen. This is an absolute true real deal, folks, that there will be an angel that has a key in one hand to the jail and to the prison of the abyss. And he's got this massive chain in another hand. And look at what takes place. And the chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon and the serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and he bound him. I mean, you could imagine this chain wrapped around this dragon, the serpent of old. Just like a serpent would wrap around, I could see this chain going, whoo, 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 boom. Throws him in the pit for 1,000 years. Check this out. Verse 7, the 1,000 years are completed. Satan will be released from prison and will come out. He does one thing, folks. He will come out to what? To deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for war. And the number, get this, the number of them is like the sands of the seashore. You cannot count, folks. An innumerable number. That's what it's saying. Now get this, is amazing to me. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints. Could you imagine this scene that will take place? That all of the numbers that cannot be counted surround the camp of the saints in the beloved city. And then this happens. And then fire came down from heaven and devoured them all. I mean, just in a sentence, folks, done. What? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The enemy's time, folks, is limited. His time is short. And this is his fate. After that 1,000 years, he will think he's got one more front. And in a sentence, fire comes down from heaven. Whew. Voila. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Isaiah 14 says he wants to take as many prisoners. The Bible calls them prisoners. To be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Folks, where's our urgency? Where's our urgency for the lost and for the broken and the hurting? Where's our urgency? That God, we are begging God that eyes are open to truth. God, we would know that there are only two kingdoms. And God, we want so many transferred from one kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. By understanding that it is Christ and Jesus took care of the enemy. Now, folks, come on, Ephesians 6. We got to fly through this. I want you to see this, please. We've got to know our position, folks. We have to know what God says. He tells us to be strong. He tells us to stand firm. He tells us to be on the alert. He tells us to be on guard. He tells us to submit to Him. He tells us to be sober. He tells us to resist. He doesn't tell us to go pick a fight with Satan. He doesn't tell us to be demon chasers. I don't care what you see on TV. He tells us to be on guard, to be aware, to be sober. He tells us to submit to Him and His authority. He tells us when the enemy and darkness comes on our turf, then we resist him. But we don't go chase him down. Because the Bible says submit to God, resist him. That means vigorously oppose him. You've got to be aware. You've got to be in guard. You have to know when darkness is here. You've got to know the enemy is in my camp. You've got to know that there's oppression in this. You've got to know this depression is not from God, but it's an oppression that comes from the enemy. You've got to know that this and that, that's a work of the enemy in my life, whether it be through demonic influence, whether it be just through the darkness of the air, whether it be through that we submit to God, resist Him, and then, the Bible says, He will flee from him. How many people think that they're so good that they're going to chase after the devil? He will turn around and punch you in the face so hard, folks. Please. Oh. Come on, look at this. You can read more in James 4, 7, 1 Peter 5, 8, 9. But this is what Ephesians 6 says. Finally, be strong in the Lord, verse 6, and in the strength of His might. Gang, we can't do this ourselves. It's not in my might. It's not in your might. You've got to understand. We stand in the power and the authority of Him. The full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm. Highlight, you will be able. Because so many times when the enemy comes, or so many times when oppression comes, so many times that darkness comes, we come to this weak-kneed place, and we come to this place of shaking fear when the Bible says, you are able to stand firm. Amen. Well, no, I can't. God says you can. I'm banking on what God says. I'm banking on the absolute power and truth of God's Word. When God says, if you do this, then you will be able to. Look what He says. Come on, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able. Absolutely. There's not a question mark there. That is not confusing, folks. You'll be able to stand firm against the schemes, the devices, the deception of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, powers, worldly forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, why? Therefore, take up, be strong, put on, stand firm, take up the full armor of God. Why? So that you will be able, highlight that, man, no question about it, you'll be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Second time, stand firm. Third time, verse 14, stand firm. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we would understand truth and that we would walk in a way that is right according to God's standard, and that we would cover our feet with the gospel of peace. Okay, you've got to know the gospel. What is the gospel to you? What if somebody knows that you are a churchgoer, and somebody knows that you tithe, and somebody knows that you've committed your life to Christ, and they ask you, what's the gospel? Do you have the biblical answer? Dang, if you and I are going to go out and win the lost, and you and I are going to ask God to open the eyes, He's going to use you to present truth and to present the gospel. That you have got to be aware of what the gospel message is. If someone would ask you, man, what is the gospel? You cannot hesitate. I do go to church, and boy, I do give them money. And the gospel, there's two kingdoms, darkness and death. And there's a kingdom of light in heaven. And man, based on our sin, we all belong to the darkness.
But because Jesus came on the greatest rescue mission of all time, that it is through the blood of Jesus on a cross that Jesus died for me. The gospel is that Christ died for me, that I was lost and desperately hopeless, but Jesus came as a rescuer for me. Jesus came, paid the penalty for me. Jesus died on a cross in my place. Jesus was buried, and on the third day, Jesus was resurrected, and I believe that, signifying that I no longer have to worry about life, that Jesus is the life, and Jesus is the resurrection, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is only through Christ on a cross that he put himself there for me. It is a blood sacrifice that Jesus made. That's the gospel, folks. And the Bible says that it is a piece of the army that we need to know. Look at this. In addition, verse 16, taking up the shield of faith. Taking up the shield of faith with which, again, highlight, you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Well, I just can't shake this temptation. God says you can. Well, man, I just feel like I'm getting hit and I'm under attack. Well, God says you'll be able to watch those arrows fall short. That you put up the shield of faith and they just hit your faith and your trust in him and your belief in him, and recognize greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world, and you will see those fiery arrows hit and drop and have no effect. Why? Because God said you are able. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amazing that God tells us to put on the armor, but never tells us to take it off. We are in a spiritual war, folks. And at times it is a war that we may not understand all the workings that takes place in the heavenlies. But we know that if we prepare, and if we resist, and if we are on the alert, and if we take up guard, and if we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee. If we are walking in alert, and if we are walking sober, we realize that there very much is a very real enemy called the lion who roams around, who's looking to destroy. And it's amazing that once we put the pieces of armor on, you see, most warriors would charge right into battle once they're fully equipped. Verse 18 is powerful. See, me in my face this morning at 2:30 was a weapon, folks. That was a weapon. Armor on and ready. And the position of the spiritual warrior is on his face. We got to see that, folks. Verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert. With all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Isn't it amazing that when you put on the armor, your next position is on your face and on your knees before him, crying out to him to do what he needs to do to remove the opposition and remove the heaviness and remove the depression and remove whatever there that you feel is a part of the enemy's darkness. We're not to be demon chasers. We're not to be talking to Satan. We're supposed to be talking to God to deal with his creation of Satan in Jesus' name. Come on, let's pray. Folks, even based on last night, I believe this is a very timely message. Father, we're asking that. God, we know that you are all powerful. We know that you're in control. We know that the enemy even answers to you. We know that you reign in us by your Holy Spirit. And we know that we have the victory because of the cross and because of the blood of the Lamb. And God, we know that we have authority in Jesus' name. And we come to you in prayer,
God, ask that you, God, as we put on the armor, and as we are aware, and as we stand firm and are not moved, God, we are able. We're able through faith to extinguish every fiery arrow of the evil one. We are able. So, Father, we just come to you today. God, we're asking that this would be made clear to us, that we would have an urgency in us as a church, an urgency in us as parents, urgency in us as young people, singles, and urgency in us as young adults, college students. But God, if there are any who have not understood the kingdom of light and Jesus only, then they are prisoners for an eternity with the ruler of darkness. God, I'm asking for an urgency in us to rise up. And God, we would be aware of any demonic attacks in our own lives, that we would quickly, God, quickly identify, because you've called us to be aware and be on alert, to be guard, to be looking for it. Not to go chase it down, but to be looking for it. And that we have the ability to resist, and he will flee. Oh God, he will flee. Father, thank you. Thank you for great authority. Thank you for Jesus. The cross means so much to us, God. A deeper understanding of what took place on that cross. Oh God, thank you for Jesus. God, thank you for victory. Thank you that he's been disarmed and defeated, and that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. It has been established and accomplished. Jesus, thank you. You so deserve to be thanked and worshiped and honored and adored for all that you have done. Oh God, that we would see the great powerful work of the cross. Oh Jesus, how do we say thank you enough for what all that was accomplished at the work of the cross? Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Hallelujah. Folks, Brennan's going to sing this song, and I'm just asking that you would stand up. And if there's anyone who says, man, there has been this darkness, or there has been this depression, or there has been this oppression, there has been this thing that I can't shake, that I believe it really is spiritual darkness, then I'm begging you, please let us pray for you. Please don't carry that. I'm asking you, please come forward, that we would pray for you this morning. I got people set up and ready to come up here. When you show up, we will pray for you. Come on, let's stand and sing.